Good afternoon, folks. Thank you for coming. This is the title of our session, Delivering Business Insights with AX and Power BI. My name is Milinda Vitharna. I'm a PM. I work with the R&D team out in Redmond. My team owns the BI framework in AX. I'm joined by Clay.
Hi, everyone. I'm Clay Wesner. I'm a member of the platform R&D team as well. I spend a little bit of my time on BI and a little bit of my time on the new common data model as well.
So Clay, let's get started. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this so-called journey from data to action. Fundamentally, what it means is that we've always have had lots of data. But then the idea is you need to make sense. You need to take some action as a business or as an organization. So we'll look at that. Why do we call it a journey? We'll try to understand that. Now, if you attended my session earlier in the day, we kind of went into a little bit about detail on the advanced analytics side, the predictive side. Today, we're going to talk about how we can help you with Power BI. And we'll talk about ready-made content that will help you get started. And we will talk about Entity Store and how Entity Store helps you with Power BI. And we'll talk about building and shipping great reports. And we're honored to have an ISV of ours join us towards the end to talk about their experiences and to showcase what they've done. So let's get started. So let's just click the. So I love this slide. It basically shows the journey from data to action. Now, the idea is that there's lots and lots of data. So how do you make sense of it? Like, how do you understand what needs to be done? And how do you, do something? I think the first step is this idea of static reports. We've had reports for a long time. And I would even argue that reports are the bread and butter of an ERP. What we call static reports is the kind of reports that you ran a report, you entered data, you ran a report, and then you looked at it, and then you tried to internalize what's going on in there, and then you took some action. That was a static report. That kind of works great, but what's even better is this idea that you can actually interact with data. You can look at trends of data. You can perhaps create a dashboard. You can identify the numbers that are important to you. You can take a look at them if things go wrong. You can go dig and analyze. So it gets you closer. It gets you closer to making that decision because you can understand the trends almost when things happen. Now, that's great. When your users get to a point where they are able to understand trends, where they're able to look at the trends, they tend to understand what needs to be done when a certain trend happens or what is likely to happen in the future. That's why maybe you could use predictions. So the idea of predictions is the system will tell you certain trends, certain things that are going to happen in the future, and as a human, you would try to take some action towards it. What's even better would be, perhaps, if some of those actions are repetitive in nature, maybe a system can do some of those actions for you when it encounters a certain condition. So if you look at an example of predictions, the demand forecasting that we do in Dynamics AX is an example of a prediction. We forecast the demand, and then, of course, you have to take action on it. But something better than that would be recommendations that are coming in the fall release, where the system recommends certain things to do. So this is the journey from data to action. Now, as an organization, when you look at it, perhaps you might be at static reports, you might even be at the dashboard level. But the idea is that the higher you go, sort of the better or the shorter the time from data to action. So let's take a look at reports. Clay.
Sure. So this is to give you a bit of an overview of the different types of reports we have in AX. A, because it gives a little bit of context what Power BI is for and what it isn't. But also because typically if we don't include this slide, the first question we get after is Power BI replacing X. And we always have to say no. So this is in to reiterate that while we're talking about and focusing on Power BI in this session, it is part of our reporting suite for AX. It's definitely not the only part. So the first is chart controls and built-in experiences. So these are developed, built charts that run off our secondary read-only database, and they sit within a workspace, within a form. They're a really rich visualization. SSRS reporting, so this is a, you know, an aged account statement or a business document like a purchase order or something like that. We still leverage SSRS for that. We're still investing in it and we're still making improvements every version. Management reporter for our financial statement reporting. So if you're doing a trial balance or a P&L or something like that, we're still using management reporter, which is easier for configuration and building your own dynamic report formats and things like that. And lastly, this slide used to have Excel as the last box here, and in the last year, we've really transitioned over to Power BI. So this is more now around just not ad hoc reporting, but that data exploration. So this is anything from Power BI desktop to, you know, building a custom report into using Power BI on the online service, you know what I mean, integrating with some of the things that Melinda's going to talk about a little bit later as well. Power BI for us in the latest release of AX that we shipped in February has been a massive investment area for us. A lot of what we've tried to do is make the product as easy as it can to work with Power BI. So we've had out-of-the-box integrations. We've built some really nice things so you can pin Power BI content pack directly into your AX workspaces and interact between the two. And then what we've also started doing is actually shipping our own content for Power BI as well. So what we'll have a quick look at is some of those items within within LCS and AX. So this is LCS, if you haven't seen it before. This is Lifecycle Services for Dynamics. It's basically how we deploy, manage environments, business processes, integration to Visual Studio, and everything else that goes on in the AX world. So one of the things that's recently been added is if we have a look in our asset library, you actually now have a Power BI report model as an asset of your project. So this can be something that you develop within Power BI Desktop yourself, create a PBIX file, and you can actually upload it directly into LCS. Once it's in LCS, we can actually use LCS then to deploy this out to our different environments. And what you actually can see now is if you click import, we have one there at the moment, and I'm going to talk about the roadmap this, but this is actually content that is developed by Microsoft, but then also maybe developed by your partner as well. And so these are reporting packs that can then be imported into your project and deployed against your environment as well. So I'll show you a little bit of what that looks like. I'm going to jump into AX, and I'm going to go ahead and deploy a report. So this is AX, one of our more recent builds. I'm going to come in, go into System Administration, and select Deploy Power BI Files. And what this will actually show me is the list of PBIX files that have been installed in my LCS project. I can come through and grab any of those, so I can say I want cache summary, and I want to deploy this file. I give my authorization, and it'll go ahead and deploy that file. So what this is actually doing is it's connecting to LCS, it actually knows the direct SQL connections to my entity store in the background, where all our analytical data sits. It goes through, updates that PBIX file, and publishes it into PowerBI.com. If I go over to PowerBI.com and open up my reports, you can see I've got a new report there with a star against it for my cache summary report. So this cache summary report was just built in in Power BI Desktop. Simple app that's UI, so there's not code involved in that. And then the mapping to the production environment and the SQL connections and things like that is actually done by that deployment process for you. So you as a user don't really have to do anything in the background. What I can now do is, it's still got all the Power BI features, I can interact with it and it's a nice fun report. But what I can do is jump back into AX and I'm gonna come in here to my budget planning workspace. Now there's a couple of things I can do to actually integrate that Power BI content back into my workspace. So the first one here is I've got my Power BI picker, and by clicking this I can actually pick individual visualizations that I wanna pin back into the workspace. So I'm going to have a look at financial performance, and I'm going to scroll down, and this can be either content deployed by us as Microsoft, or it can be something developed by yourself or a partner. So I'm going to pick two of those, click OK, and it'll actually pin them back into my workspace for me as well. Now, that's pinning a visualization. I can hover over it. If I click it, it'll actually launch me directly into Power BI in the report. Now, the most recent one, which we added 2 to 3 months ago, I think, is the ability for you to embed a whole report into that workspace as well. So what I can do now is I can go to Options, and I can say Open My Report Catalog, and this will actually open up the catalog of reports that are available from PowerBI.com. And I can come here and say, I want my cache summary to be available. Tick that and click OK. And you can see now under Power BI Reports, I've got Expense Summary and Cache Summary. If I click Cache Summary, this actually runs as a completely embedded report within my AX instance. So I'm not launching a new tab, I'm not going into PowerBI.com, but I can have an embedded report that I can run as well. So this now, this control of pinning reports is available on all the workspaces. You can even now create custom workspaces as well and pin visualizations into them and things like that. So it makes what in older versions for us was very much a customization development experience, more of a configuration and personalized experience within AX7. The LCS tools also make it far easier for us to deploy and move these reports around. Now, the packs that we already have available for you are, there's actually, one more coming on this. So available now, we have financial performance, cost management, and retail channel management. So these are content packs that have a dashboard and then a selection of like 10 to 15 reports each that sit within PowerBI.com. You can go to the public service at the moment and get them. They are free content packs and can just point to an AX service and they refresh and load. And you can do the pinning experience I just showed. Project impact and practice management was the one that you just saw sitting with my LCS. It's releasing, if not released, at the moment. And what our target over the next few months, at the beginning of next year, is we're looking at cost accounting, HR, hiring manager, purchasing, and credit management as well. All of these are going to be using a new way of connecting with the data, which is going to be Entity Store, which Melinda's going to talk about today. But basically, these are now, each of our app teams are starting to build Power BI reports themselves. So the idea will be that within that LCS asset library, we'll build up a set of standard Microsoft reports, but also partners and customers are going to be able to contribute to that on their own projects as well. Melinda.
Thanks, Clay. So yes, we're, as Microsoft, we're building quite a bit of content packs. You'll be, you know, you'll see them next few months. But what I wanted to show you was how you yourselves can build a lot of this content yourself fairly easily, and how you can perhaps empower your business analysts or power users in your organization to create these content and then host it in, you know, through LCS, migrate your production environment. So before we do that, let's try to understand what are these different data sources and what is Entity Store. So you know, you may have seen this slide before. In Dynamics AX7, there are actually three databases behind the scene. The first database is, of course, the primary database, which is used for, you know, data entry, sales orders, sales confirmations, you know, invoices. When an invoice gets printed, you probably know it goes and updates a flag in the database to say that this invoice was in fact printed. So things that involve operational data go and update the primary database. Now, what we do in addition in AX7 is we have the ability to keep additional copies of databases for read-only purposes. In fact, we have the ability to keep up to 3 copies for read-only purposes. And what I mean by read-only purposes is this. Like, we have a secondary DB. It's a few seconds late, at most, than the primary. But what the kernel, or what the engine does, is what the AOS does, is AOS has the ability to forward some of the read-only queries into the read-only copies, right? So as an application developer, you don't say, please do this in the read-only secondary. You don't. I mean, you don't need to deal with that level of complexity. What you would do is perhaps you would create a chart, kind of an online chart that is shown in a workspace. Or maybe you'd create a count tile. Or maybe you'd create a KPI. Or you might write a query-based SSRS report. Now, what the kernel can do is it can detect in the background if the workload is high, if there are read-only copies, the kernel will actually direct those queries onto read-only replicas, right? That's what it does. So as a developer, you don't need to understand multi-threading. You don't need to, you know, work on semaphores. You don't need to do anything like that. You would write your code. In the back end, it gets scaled out into multiple copies of data. Now, the secondary DB and the primary DB, they're almost identical. They're real time. However, for analytical purposes, we keep another copy of a database that's called the entity store. Now, the entity store is a little different. The primary and the secondary are an exact copy of the database. So AX has, what, 4,700 tables? Secondary copy has 4,700 tables. Whereas the entity store is actually denormalized so that from Power BI, it's actually very easy to work with. So if you look at the entities, those entities are denormalized. They're stored as tables inside the entity store. So if you go and look at the entity store, you see a much friendlier schema with denormalized names, the relationships, like, you know, if you have composite keys, they've been reduced to a single key. So a whole lot of the stuff happens in the entity store. And the entity store is what we use for Power BI. So a little bit more about entity store. You know, here's where we are going with entity store. The idea of entity store, as you probably would have guessed, it's an extensible data database for analytical purposes. Now, we talked about this. We have a, you know, our aspiration is to get into a few minutes of latency, a near real-time data store. So as of today, you can schedule refresh from primary to entity store. You can do it manually, but our thinking is that, I mean, in the future, we'll take care of it behind the scenes so that we keep it refreshed and you don't have to go and work with batch jobs and so on. We want to leverage the rich metadata that's in AX so that when you model an entity in AX, you know, we will we'll take it, make it easy for you. And the entity store that is, and the other thing is when you model a star schema in the entity store, we will actually not only take that star schema into the entity store, we will also do things like creating composite keys. We will expand enumerations and things like that without you having to explicitly go and create those things. In the future, we will provide much better Power BI integration. So today, you know, we just staged the star schema, but in the future, you can imagine that we will actually generate Power BI models that straight away start looking at it, so you can start using it right away. What you have today is it's a database, it's a star schema. As a Power user, you can create reports using Power BI Desktop. And when you create those reports using Power BI Desktop, as I'll show you, you have the ability to migrate that to production, and we take care of switching database connections and all that. There's a lot more happening. In the future, you will see us working on that. The last thing that I will say is an entity store is provisioned with every instance of AX after update 1 or the May update. So when you buy new Dynamics AX after May update, there is an entity store. In update 2, we also enabled you to bring your own database, meaning if you want to build a data mart that has not only AX data, but also other data, you can actually define that database and bring it to AX, and AX will start pushing AX entities into that database, into your own database. So if you want just Power BI integration, use the entity store that comes with AX. It comes for free. Whereas if you want to build a data warehouse or a data mart using AX data, you can ask AX to pump data into your database as well. So a couple of things to keep in mind. Let's jump in and take a look. So let me jump into my demo machine here. So here's AX, and what you will find is when you go into systems administration, you will find this option called Entity Store. Quick show of hands. How many of you have heard of Entity Store or have seen this? Okay, few of you. So when you go into this UI, this entity store forms, it'll actually show you a list of aggregate measurements. Does anyone know what an aggregate measurement is? Okay, a few of you. An aggregate measurement is a big word, but it basically means it's a star schema.
It's actually two big words.
Two big words, yes. Two big words that basically says star schema. Now, what you can do is, let's see what the star schema is in a little bit, but understand that this is a list of star schemas, and what you can do is you can actually go and schedule refresh. So when you go select this, you can create a schedule, and you can say, keep on refreshing this every so often. And then, you know, this is the part that we will take care of in time to come, but right now you have to go and schedule it one by one. So now, when this is scheduled, what the system does is it starts pushing data from AX into this star schema, right? So let's see what these star schemas are and how these things got created. So now, you know, to create a new star schema or to extend the star schema that we ship out of the box, you would need to be a developer. So let's just assume that we're developers for now. And what I've done here is here's my AX developer tools. And what I've done is I've expanded this analytics node. And inside the analytics node, there's a thing called perspectives. Does anyone remember perspectives from AX 2009, AX 2012? Right. So, I mean, these are not your father's perspectives or your grandfather's perspective. I mean, these things have really evolved. And but what we've done is we've actually made it possible for you to import or upgrade the perspectives that you modeled in AX 2012. So when you upgrade AX 2012 metadata, all those perspectives come with it. And in fact, but the structure is a little different. So we have this thing called aggregate measurements. Aggregate measurements is a star schema. We have aggregate dimensions, which is basically a list of dimensions. So when you upgrade your analysis projects from R3, 2012 R3, it'll get refactored into the new metadata format, and it'll come here like this. What we will do is, you'll find some of the new ones, but also you will find some of the old ones, like the sales cube. So let's just open the sales cube. This is the sales cube from AX 2012, and what it is now it's actually organized a little differently. So you have this notion of measures. These are the measures that got upgraded, and you have the dimensions. Now, what you can actually do is these dimensions are now related using AX relationships. So, you know, if you're creating a new one, you can use the entities that are in AX. You can drag and drop entities, and it'll create a star schema. It'll identify the relationships between entities, so it'll create these relationships automatically, or you can go and override it if you want to. And then after that, after you create this star schema, there are a couple of options. One is, you can use the star schema for in-memory real-time analytics. So for an example, if you have operational charts that needs to work off of the secondary database, you can set this flag to in-memory real-time. So then what that means is you actually have the ability to consume the star schema in your chart controls, in your forms. And or you can simply say that I just want to stage this in entity store because I want to use this for Power BI, right? Now, if you are upgrading AX 2012 perspectives, I would recommend, and if you're using it for Power BI, that's great. If you use it for in-memory real-time, check for performance. Because the thing is, sometimes, old perspectives were modeled using like multiple levels of views, and they may entail massive joins, and they may not perform very well in an in-memory real-time scenario. But this is a very easy upgrade option if you want to light up with Power BI. So once you've done that, that's pretty much all you need to do. You can rebuild it, and after you rebuild, those will appear here, along with the other aggregate measurements, right? So once these aggregate, as a developer, you either create aggregate measurements, you bring your AX 2012, the stuff that you worked on, And then you have the ability to stage these aggregate measurements into the entity store. So we've scheduled the job. Let's go take a look at entity store. In fact, what we will do is we'll put on the hat of a power user, and let's go in, and let's try to write a report. Let me actually close this guy. Let's try to write a report using Power BI Desktop, right? So I'm going to launch Power BI Desktop. And how many of you have worked with Power BI Desktop? Quick show of hands. Yeah, quite a few of you. So not going to sign in. Let's just say get data. Now, we're going to get data from SQL Server because the entity store in my... So I'm a developer. I'm working in my local workstation. Or I'm a business user. I'm working with a local copy of data. So, and I'm going to be working on the entity store that is in my local environment. So I'm going to say the server is my local server, and AXDW is the name of the entity store in my local machine. And I'm going to connect using direct query. So with direct query, we'll go into it a little bit detail later. The idea of direct query is these queries are executed on the database. Power BI does not cache the data if it's direct query, right? So the idea is this. Power BI doesn't actually cache the data in the Power BI cloud. That data lives with you. That data lives in that AX instance. And whenever there's a Power BI query, it actually redirects that query onto Entity Store. And because Entity Store is, number one, denormalized, it's got all the in-memory column store indices defined, it can actually give you an interactive experience on the data in Entity Store. So Power BI caching is not required. Now, what's also really nice about that is because Entity Store is near real time, you actually, in your reports, you would see near real time data when you analyze them using Power BI. Okay? So that's a direct query and current credentials. Okay. So here's a list of tables and views that I have staged, and I did a few before the demo. What I'll do is I'll actually use the ledger activity measure, and so let me use ledger activity. Let me use the calendar. Let me use transaction date, and what else is there? Yeah, currency. Yeah, that's enough. So let's just say load, and here you go. Here are the tables that are available to me. Now, let me just select some measures out of this. So, one thing that you will find is, let me do one more thing. Let me look at it by, let's just see, account. Okay, I can't find the account. Let's look at it by date. So I want to look at it by date, but what I want to do is now I want to relate that to the fiscal calendar table. Now, one thing that the system did was it actually created a composite key that combines like a couple of natural keys that are required for the fiscal calendar. So let me go and create a relationship. And let's say new. Okay, I've got too many things open here. Okay. I've got too many things open here. Let me reduce some of the stuff on my... This guy. Okay, let's start over. Okay, there you go. So here's the measure group that I want to relate, and let me select this guy, my foreign key that was created by the system. I want to relate it with the fiscal year offset dimension. So it actually tells me what that FK relates to. So if I select the fiscal year offset dimension, and I select row unique key. So basically what the system has done is it has actually created composite keys to all the dimensions that are related, that I related back in AX. So the idea is now I can actually combine and so I have it by period. Okay, I don't have not a great data. So I don't have a lot of great data here, but the idea is, let me also expand this a little bit. Okay. So the year offset is a very interesting dimension. It basically tells me the offset from the current month. So if I want to create a report that shows me the ledger balance for the past 12 months, then what I will do is I'll create a filter. And I will say,
there we go, you got that, sorry.
Yeah. And I'll say, zero. Okay. It's between so basically I've created a report that shows me, and I need to actually get rid of I mean, you get the idea. I want to create a report that shows me the accounting currency amount for the last 12 months and or there you go. So let's also try to sort it. Let's try to pick a better visual here. Does that look good?
I think you just take what you can get at this point.
But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to save this report on my desktop. So I've created a report that basically looks at the data on my desktop, on my entity store on my desktop. Next, let's see how we can migrate this to production. So what I will do is I will go open up LCS, and now as a user, I've created this report. It works great. I can actually publish this report directly into powerbi.com. That would work, except that this report actually looks at my developer instance, the data that I have on my local box. But that's not exactly what I want. So that's why I would actually upload this into LCS and use LCS as the means to move from dev to test. That's how you would actually migrate any AX artifact. You would create those artifacts, upload that to LCS, and LCS is the one that will deploy into your production environment. So what I'm gonna do now is, and I can, you know, what I can do is I can go into a project and I can go into the asset library and I will actually upload this document as into the asset library. Okay. And of course, I can use LCS. I can, you know, if I'm, if my environment is in the same project, then I'm great. I can go into the production environment like Clay showed and I can extract it. Or I can also share this with other projects. Now, if I'm a partner, I can actually upload this into LCS and I can share this with others. If I have an LCS solution as an ISV, I can actually include this Power BI in that LCS solution. So when that LCS solution gets distributed, my Power BI files get distributed as well. And then what happens is then after that, as an administrator, as Clay showed, you can go into AX and you can actually get these documents from, get these assets from LCS, and you have the ability to deploy them into your production environment. And when you deploy them, the system actually changes the data connections so that at that point, it actually starts pointing to the production data. So I think we've seen a couple of different things. One is we've seen how these aggregate measurements are modeled. We've seen the entity store. How to stage a table or set of aggregate measurements from into the entity store. And then we've gone into Power BI Desktop and we've created a report as a Power user and we've uploaded that into LCS. So let's jump back into the presentation. Now, we talked about this a little earlier. We talked about how we would author near real-time Power BI reports using Entity Store. Now, there are a couple of advantages of this architecture as opposed to creating Power BI reports using the OData endpoint. Is anyone familiar with the OData authoring Power BI reports with OData? Yeah, I mean, basically every entity, if you take an entity and if you mark them as public inside AX, you have the ability to consume that entity using the OData endpoint. So if you go into an AX URL and type /data, you see a list of entities that are available from AX, and you can actually go into Power BI Desktop or Excel add-ins, and you can actually extract those entities, and you can create a report inside Power BI. That approach works. However, what happens with that is the reports that you create, the report models that you create, it starts caching data in Power BI. So first, you have to refresh those reports inside Power BI. And the second is, you know, now if 300 users start creating those content packs, it exercises your OData endpoint 300 times. Plus also, OData doesn't, you know, the Power BI doesn't support incremental updates through OData at this point, so it sucks all the data all the time. So it adds a little bit of a strain on the system. Plus, if I'm a user, I have to go and make sure to schedule that thing, otherwise I see late data. So with Entity Store and this direct query approach, we basically try to overcome some of those limitations. So what happens with direct query, as we talked about earlier, is that Power BI, the expressions that are Power BI basically sends those query to the underlying database, which is Entity Store. So that's why we would author direct query reports with Power BI using Entity Store. So with this background, I'd like to we're actually very honored to have one of our ISVs, Joel. I'd love for him to join us on stage and show us what they've done.
Thanks. Forgot my notes. Thank you, Melinda, for inviting me today to talk to you. My name is Joel Lichty from SA Global. We are an AX partner who specializes in the service industry, so that's customers that do project-oriented businesses like marketing firms or IT firms, that kind of thing. And so we've built a solution for our customers called ProJX. And that's what I'd like to demo to you today is the BI components and the BI part of those solutions. Before I get into the demo, I just wanted to talk a little bit. So we've talked a lot about Power BI today and the Power BI story. For me, the workspaces in AX and content packs in Power BI really tie together. I mean, I think of those as almost one thing, and the two of them combined together are telling the whole story to the end user. So you can see on the slide, I've got listed a list of things. So all of these are workspaces that we provide, and then we provide a corresponding content pack in Power BI that kind of ties it all together. So I'm going to start the story in AX, and as Clay and Melinda mentioned earlier, hang on one second. Can you come back? Did you extend? Thank you. So I'm going to start the story here inside of Dynamics AX, and you can see some of our custom workspaces here on the sales and marketing tab. And I just wanted to show this because earlier Clay showed an example of where you could bring the visualizations from Power BI into your content pack. I've got a couple of good examples here. So actually, the pie chart that you see in here is actually just a built-in visualization. So this has nothing to do with Power BI. This is just showing you that you can get visualizations into AX through just normal workspace development. And then, as Clay showed earlier, I can bring in some components of my Power BI content packs into the workspace to give the user that full experience. I want to switch over to another one of our workspaces, project management, because I want to talk about what I see this whole story as being. So, you know, on the workspace, you're really looking for the user to bring things to the table, you know, their knowledge you want them to bring to the table and enter into your system. And the workspace is also a good place to be notified of tasks that the worker needs to do. So in a typical workspace design, you can see I've got buttons to add new business data to the system. And then on the tiles, I'm trying to provide them, here's things that you need to do right now for your specific user In this case, the project manager has some workflows that are pending and she needs to go approve them immediately. So that's where the tiles are really nice, is presenting somebody with actionable information and actionable intelligence. Then in the list component of the workspace, you're trying to get them deeper into the system quickly. So in the case of our project management workspace, I'm just showing the user their projects that they're supposed to own, so that they can jump into some different places and add business data, maybe add an activity or something to a project. And then finally on the end here, I can see links and information to get other places in AX. So that's the first part of the story for the project manager, is providing the information they have. And then the second part is the analysis side of this story. So like I said, we try to build these content packs one-to-one with the workspace. So if I have my Power BI tile in here, then I can just click on it and it'll bring me into the Power BI experience and powerbi.com. And from here, my project manager can start to do some analysis. So I've brought a lot of information to them in a single screen, lots of visualizations that kind of tie together some different project management theories in terms of, they've got some activities they need to deal with because they're past budget, and they can use this earned value theory of project management to see if they're off track from a budgeting perspective. So there's just lots of good visualizations and data. And then, of course, you can have your fish swimming around for the people who are on your team, because why not? There's some cool visualizations in Power BI. And of course, a lot of times, it's not just an overview that you want. Sometimes you want to get deeper into your data. And to show an example of that, I'm going to go back to another one of our workspaces. So this workspace is called Global Project Administration. It's basically for someone who manages the entire organization cross-company and just tries to make sure that all the data's flowing through and things are getting posted and workflows are making their way through the system, that kind of thing. So again, they have a corresponding workspace with some things they need to do today, and they can jump over to powerbi.com for some analysis. So what I wanted to talk about here was that, when you're doing the analysis, a lot of times you want to sort of drill into more detailed information. And that's the nice thing about these content packs, is that you can have multiple tabs. So on our first tab, we try to focus on visualizations, but then as you drill into the details, you can get more into like traditional reports. So here I've got a visualization in addition to a regular looking report. And the nice thing about in Power BI, if you combine visualizations with raw data, you can just click on the visualization and it'll filter the data. So it gives the user a nice experience to kind of click in and just focus on the information they want to see. So I've basically, in our tabs here, I've covered all of the things that are on the visualization overview. I've given them more in-depth information into the data. And then the final concept I wanted to talk about was, yes, we can let people drill into the data, but wouldn't it be nice if I could give them some of the answers instead of making them go search for data? So to do that, I wanted to bring up our resource management page. So a resource manager is concerned with things like utilization and how billable my resources are. So this is updating live from AX. And so you can see in my example here, my utilization is terrible, my billability is pretty good. So that might be something that a resource manager needs to drill into, is why is nobody working? So they could do that in a very traditional way, in terms of I could give them kind of an old school report that Melinda was talking about earlier. That's a lot of times when we go into companies, this is what they ask for. I want this report with these six fields on it. But when you ask the users and you kind of get more in depth into what are you actually looking for, they may tell you, well, I look at this third column here, this utilization percent, and I'm looking for the numbers that are low, and that's the ones I investigate. So, you know, when we can get into that kind of stories and we can get people to, you know, when we can get users to really tell us what they're looking for in these detailed reports, then we can build more elegant experiences. So in this case, I've just given them, here are the people that have low utilization, and I've given them a nice visualization. So if they click on me, my utilization's bad because I'm off speaking at a conference. So they can click on Joel and kind of get a quick visualization of my hours and how my hours have been trending, so that they don't have to just look through line by line, look through this very detailed report. And got a similar one for people who are sometimes overutilized can be just as bad as underutilized if people get tired of that. So so that's the concept around pre-filtering and trying to build some intelligence into these reports instead of making the users dig into it. So that's some components of our solution, and I think Melinda wanted to do a little Q&A here with, yeah.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Joel. That was excellent. I wanted to actually, I mean, this is obviously really, really nice. The reports are way, way better than the report that I created. So tell us, I mean, how did you get about doing this? What did you have to do to get to this point?
Right. So let me drill into that a little bit, just showing kind of the data model here behind the scenes, and then I'll talk about kind of the process to get there. So if I go into one of these reports and edit the report, you can kind of see the underlying data entities that we've built to make up these reports. So if you're in the project module, you know, common data entities are actual posted transactions versus budget. You know, those are two things that you want to show on one visualization at the same time. So we're bringing all that into the data entities and we've put that all together. In terms of advice for, you know, if you're going and you're ready to start this process and you're ready to start building this, my advice is to keep it simple at first in terms of, you know, build a couple of dimensions and a couple of fact tables and put those together inside of AX into an aggregate measurement, but then take it all the way through the process. So all the way from, you know, running the entity store, bringing the entities into Power BI, even deploying them to PowerBI.com. Because in this process, I mean, there are multiple steps to ultimately get it from, you know, an AX dev environment to PowerBI.com. So it's good to just use a simple example and take it all the way through. And then you can start to build on that example and maybe know, learn some of the complexities along the way.
Fantastic. So you touched on some of the, you know, things you had to do. Please tell us, you know, some of the interesting challenges you faced, and of course we've been working together for some time.
Right.
But I think it'll be great if you can share with them.
Right. So I guess starting from the data model, you know, some of the challenges are just putting together the data model in terms of, you know, our data model is pretty large, so we had to build up all these entities and put it together. I think we also learned along the way that we wanted to get as many, in the fact tables, you want to get as many measures as possible built into the data entities and not necessarily build everything in PowerBI.com. It seems to be just easier to manage it if you build everything into the fact table in the beginning. And that also helps with scenarios of bring your own database scenarios, which you didn't talk about today, but having everything built into the entities helps in integration scenarios and to reuse that those entities in different ways. So that was a lot of our struggles on the data model. One of the struggles you guys have solved, which was we added foreign keys and primary keys manually to our solution. Now that comes out of the box. Thank you. So that was a challenge. I think on the report writing side, when you get into more visualization heavy reports, it's a challenge just to pick like the right visualization. I mean, do I want a bar graph? Do I want fish? You know, it's hard to choose because a lot of us are just used to writing more like SSRS style reports. So that was a challenge for us to kind of get up to speed and get into a rhythm of picking visualizations and building the content packs. And if you saw from our content packs, I think you tend to deploy more reports. You put all this investment into the data model, you want to get a lot out of it, so you know, we may put 10, 12 reports into a single content pack.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's actually, I think that's a key takeaway. I think the effort is getting the data model, because the visualizations are easy, or it can be easily modified by a user. So thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thank
and
you.
All the best with your solution.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, we have a few minutes for questions, but a couple of resources. You know, we've talked about a lot of different concepts. I think a great starting point will be the Dynamics AX Wiki, because we talked about modeling aggregate measurements, we talked about modeling entities. Wiki has hands-on labs that will actually walk you through creating these things. And then, of course, our blog is a good place to keep up to date in terms of what features are coming. I mean, we release almost every quarter, and as Joel mentioned, you know, a lot of the issues that that he encountered, I mean, based on your feedback, we've actually continuously improved them. And then, you know, if you want to look at Power BI, absolutely, you know, you can, best thing to do would be to keep on, you know, download Power BI Desktop, keep on building reports. And if you're ready for the next step, you know, start taking a look at cognitive services and so on. A couple of related sessions. The first session, you know, about the development lifecycle. And then we had a session in the morning, which was really about advanced analytics, how you actually take it from Power BI to advanced analytics. Perhaps you can take a look at the recording. A couple of sessions happening later today, and a theater session tomorrow afternoon, where I'll actually talk a little bit more about the bring your own database option. We talked a lot about the entity store for Power BI integration. There's another option with which you can actually bring your own database and build a data warehouse on top of that. So that's tomorrow. So we have about 10 minutes. If you have any questions, I'd be Clay and I, mostly Clay, we'll be happy to talk about that. Yes, sir. So the question is, are there Power BI data limits for each user? Clay, do you know the current limits?
There we go. So especially with OData, yes. So if you're using like a free user leveraging OData, there are data limits to how much data can be stored within your Power BI data model. And the main reason for that, as Melinda said, is we're actually transferring the information into Power BI, and that's what you do the reporting off. With the direct query model, we don't actually store data within Power BI, so we're not hit by those same limits. So it's a direct query through. So the entity store is based on an Azure database, and you know, I mean, it can scale basically to whatever we need it to. Power BI doesn't need to deal with the size. So if you're going down the OData path, you do need to keep volume into consideration. And if you actually have a look at the ones that we've built, like the OData content packs, financial performance, and retail, we've kept them very targeted. So they're like current year, current month, current quarter type, very focused data. It's one of the main reasons we actually built the entity store, is so that if you want to do a 10-year, year-on-year analysis, you can go and do that. So OData yes, entity store no, is basically the answer. Hi. So the question is, can you connect to the primary database? Because not all data is in the entity store. So the answer is no. The AX7 primary database isn't accessible to anything but the AOS, basically. But what you can do is entities can be modeled, like transactional entities can be modeled and pushed into like your either the entity store or into your own database. So the main reason for that is we have service SLAs and performance standards of the AX environment, and as soon as someone can report off the production database, we can't really control that. So that's the main reason we've locked it down. The other is because we're trying to make upgrades easier in the future, and one of the ways we're doing that is really with the entity structure. We will be extremely careful about changes to the entity structure moving forward, so that people can rely on it as a contract for their reporting and their integrations. Table structures, on the other hand, we will not be as careful with. We'll still be careful, but not as careful. And the main reason is because you should be reporting off the entity. So if we need to restructure a table for performance optimization, your reporting shouldn't be relying on the underlying table structure for a direct integration. So that's our aspiration of moving as much to the entity as possible, is that it gives us more flexibility to make improvements to the data schema, but also at the same time, it protects that production instance. We're doing everything we can, basically, to keep that production instance protected, and one of the things is that's what entity store is for. So basically the idea would be is you would model your transactional entity to push out to another database, and we're working to improve the latency between that synchronization, but there are no plans to give production database access.
Just to add to your point you referred to, I think if you look at the entities that we have, the 1700 odd entities that we have, they're mostly master data, reference data oriented. There's a few transactional entities, but there's not a lot. One of the things that we are doing in the coming releases is actually looking at some of the transactional entities that are needed for Power BI. So you'll see them coming from us soon. But if you don't want to wait till then, what you could actually do is to actually create an entity. And you could, there's a way of creating entities using views. So if you want, you can start with a view and create an entity and use that with the entity store. So the question is, will the entity store in AX7 be migrated to common data model? I think it's a, well, let me answer it this way. I don't think it's a migration as such, but think of common data model as something that evolved from the entity store. I think you'll see us talking about this scenario more and more in the future. Think of common data model as a companion to Power Apps that'll let you build apps, not only Power BI reports. Definitely, we'll make it possible to take AX data into the common data model. So think of that as an evolution of, but entity store is not going away. I mean, if you want to do Power BI integration within AX, entity store will always be there. But CDM, or the common data model, will enable more and more scenarios.
Yeah, the idea there is that if you're just looking to build a report of financial data or inventory, you would use the entity store. If you're looking at building a custom app, extending your AX data, and then doing a combined analytics scenario off that, you would pull it into the common data model. So there is work being done to make that AX integration push, just like we've done for entity store, into CDM as well. Yes, correct. Any other questions? So the question there is, when you upgrade from 2012.7, would SSRS reports look at the entity store and not at the production database? Not at the moment, no. They would still continue to operate off the transactional database. You can point them off secondary. They wouldn't default that. They wouldn't do that by default when you upgraded them. Basically, there's a parameter on the queries that we can say this is an analytical. SSRS we're a little more careful with. Like Power BI, we know we can push it to secondary. SSRS, because it could be something like a purchase order, we want it to be a little more explicit. So what you could do on those reports is go through and actually identify and say, this is like an analytical query, and then we would actually divert the report to the secondary database. Okay. Any other questions? The entity store? Or will you be able to use the entity store against the running AX 2012 environment?
Yeah, so we also released entity store on AX 2012 R3. We did that back in April. Now, the terminology is a little confusing, meaning what we enabled with AX 2012 is the ability to export entities to your own database. So you could define a new database, and you could come into the data management area page in AX 2012, and you could say, hey, here's my database. I want you to export entities into that. So that's what we call BYOD, bring your own database. So in AX, so AX 2012 R3 has that. You also have that in AX 7. So with August update, you have that in AX 7 as well. So the idea behind that is, let's say you're building a data warehouse or a data mart. You want to export AX entities into it incrementally, plus you might want to add other tables. Entity store that comes built in with Dynamics AX, that is not available for AX 2012. That is specifically for Power BI integration in AX, new AX. Right, I understand. Is your AX 2012 R3 or prior versions? Yeah, we support it on R3. The entity store and BYOD are fairly similar, except that in case of entity store, you have this star schemas, and we do more to make the Power BI integration easy. Whereas if you want to export entities into your own database, then of course you would have to go into Power BI desktop and, you know, add that value yourself. We have 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes more in case you have any questions. Great, thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'll be here, and plus Clay and I will be at the expo in case you want to come and meet us afterwards. Thank you.